is Best of the Best, where we discuss the most legendary, iconic matches in professional wrestling history. And today we've got one that some people say is the greatest ladder match of all time. One of the greatest matches of all time, because it's certainly two of the greatest characters of all time. That is the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and the Bad Guy, Mr. Razor Ramon, WrestleMania 10 ladder match.
John, I'm so glad you said one of the greatest matches of all time. You know, that gets overlooked because it set the standard of the ladder match. But, you know, if you look at the match and its content, I mean, this would be a great match and a great storytelling match, even without the ladder in it. But, you know, we had the ladder in it. It wasn't the first ladder match. And, you know, we always hit on the history of this stuff here. And ladder matches, as you research and I research, you know, I guess they finally come to an agreement, they being whoever they is, they come to the agreement at Calgary, Stampede Wrestling, so Stu Hart himself had the first ladder match, but then there's controversy on who, what was it? Was it the Japanese guys, Kendo Nagasaki, or was it, what's the other guy's name that was doing it?
Tenryu?
Yeah. No, the Calgary guy. But anyway, that's not important. But Kendo, to me, Kendo was the guy, but I don't know. But supposedly, Bret Hart took the idea of the match to Vince and convinced Vince to make it a WWE match, and they did. And realistically, Shawn and Bret actually had the first ladder match, but it was a non-televised event up in Portland, Maine, or something like that. So there was footage of it, and I think it's shown on one of the videos, one of the WWE videos. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. Bret was the one that had the first. It was a house show event, and then they had decided to put Razor and Shawn in it, and they had a couple of live events around the horn to kind of work out the kinks to get ready for WrestleMania 10. All of that comes as the great wrestling historian, your friend Bruce Pritchard, has outlined very well.
That's right. Bruce gave us some tremendous insight on this. You know, there was real controversy on the timing of this match also, that it, you know, that it kind of infringed on the next match. And we're talking WrestleMania here. I've sat behind that gorilla position before, as you know, John, and you know, time disappears during WrestleMania, and you hate to cut anything off because it's WrestleMania, and these guys are out having probably the match of their life, and they're all hoping for that one WrestleMania moment. So how do you sit there and tell them to go, especially a ladder match that's the first time we're seeing a ladder match on a major pay-per-view. That is the first time when we see this match here.
Yeah, and this isn't any WrestleMania. This is WrestleMania 10, and they're going back to the Garden, the home of the first WrestleMania. And so this is a huge anniversary, and this match is squashed between two championship matches. And so the match itself in the Garden, WrestleMania 10, the whole night is a special night.
That's right, you know, and WrestleMania 10, and that's when Vince wanted to every 10th year, we're going to go back to the Garden. I don't know if we stuck true to that. We'd have to do a little bit more research. But
20 we did. 20 we did. Okay. 30, I think we were out in California, I think. Or maybe that was Triple X down in Louisiana. I'm not sure, but we weren't in the Garden for the 30, I don't believe.
Okay.
But we were for 20, because I remember how cool it was, because I don't remember who had Ron and I wrestled, but we were on 20, and it was pretty cool place to be in the Garden on that special night of that anniversary.
And your storied career, I mean, of course, ladder matches weren't even talked about during my career, my prime time, my career. But did you ever have either a tag match or in a ladder with a ladder or a singles match as many times as you defended that title?
I had one ladder match that I remember, and it was with Jeff Hardy, of all people. Wow. So, of course, I did the job. You know, as Ron used to say, we have a ladder match, I'll hit you with a ladder. I mean, not much we can do in a ladder match.
I can't believe your big butt got up off the ground and got up on that 20-foot ladder.
At one point, Jeff is hitting me, and he's going, you got to take a bump, and I'm scared of heights. I didn't mind the fall. I didn't like the height.
Yeah, you're so, like me. Our big butts need to be closer to the ground. Not
I was not, so happy when we had the the Dudleys and Edge and Christian and the Hardys.
Hardy. Yeah.
And you know, not that me and Ron would have been in there anyway, but I'm so glad we weren't even considered.
Well, I can't imagine Ron even consenting to something. Damn, you want me to do what?
they asked Ron one day. There were a bunch of kids out there doing some moves, you know, practicing moves, you know, trying to get to figure out how to do these different flips and flops. And Ron's sitting there just watching them. And somebody said, "Ron, what would you do if they called that with you?" He goes, "Tag John."
And what would John do? Not tag in.
Yeah, John don't want in, Ron.
You know, I can't imagine, you know, the talent that the matches that you and Eddie Guerrero had. I mean, if you guys would have probably had a ladder match, I mean, they'd probably be talking about that match also, because Eddie could make any, and you notice I said Eddie could make any type of match shine, you know, with anybody. So
yeah, it would have been with anybody. We had, you know, we had the cage match where he came off the top, and we had some, right. You know, we were able to do some pretty cool stuff off the top rope. Yeah, I would have actually enjoyed a ladder match with Eddie, because Eddie was so good. He was like Sean, you know. People talk about Sean could have a match with anything, how he could have a match with a ladder, and yeah. Sean could, you know, Sean could do anything. Eddie was the same way.
I think Razor kind of got pissed off. Somebody said that Shawn Michaels having a match with a ladder out there, and they took it the wrong way. Like they wasn't respecting Razor Ramon's part of this thing. But as we get into the, we just see how much talent and we got to bring it up. We just lost Razor, and we're doing this video as a tribute to our lost brother there. But the talent that Scott Hall, Razor Ramon had, I mean, it just shines through in this. And the power, and you know, just his demeanor inside of the ring, you could see why Razor Ramon was such a big star in this thing.
Yeah, and I worked with Razor quite a few times when I came in. And I worked the entire European loop when he and Kevin were about to go to WCW. And he had no reason to work hard. He had no, you know, they were going for big money. They were just fulfilling the obligation, which was pretty cool for them to do at WWE. And I worked with Scott many times. He worked his butt off. I mean, he had such a good brain in the ring. It was such a pleasure to work with him. He really knew his way around the ring.
I think so too. You know, he had that great training. He was trained up in Minnesota. Then he came down here to Florida and got some of the Eddie Graham and the Dusty Rhodes and all those various guys influencing him. And so he had the psychology down to a pat. And man, you talk about somebody taking a character and making it their self. There, you can't say Scott Hall without thinking of Razor Ramon. You can't Razor Ramon without Scott Hall. I mean, Scott took that Razor character and embedded it in his heart and soul, and it really comes out. And that's one thing about Scott Hall that everybody just has to admire. What a professional this guy was. A lot of guys, oh, yeah, you got me doing this character and stuff like this, but this is a character he liked. And thank goodness at that time, you know, the movie Scarface, Al Pacino and everything. And Al Pacino was you know, Academy Award winner, of course. So Razor took parts of that character and stole it, and like we all do, and then made it his own, you know, through developing that character. But let's get rolling here. The introduction here is good old Vinnie Mac here introduced us back in the days where Vinnie Mac was still on the microphone. And it ain't me that's letting this match go long. It's our good buddy Bruce Pritchard.
That's right.
At the grill position. That would have never happened with me there, would it, John?
That's exactly right. Hey, one other thing before we go, you know, Scott Hall, people talk about, you know, who was the greatest non-world champion wrestler. And there were a few, you know, Piper, certainly.
Right.
Goldust would have been a great world champion when he was Gold Man. That would have been like Gorgeous George. I mean, he was so good. But Scott Hall would have been a great world champion. He was a big, good-looking guy, could really work, could do promos. You know, when people talk about who was the greatest wrestler to not be world champion, you know, Scott made a ton of money. But that one thing, he would have been a great world champion.
You're exactly right. And heel or babyface. I mean, Scott, he could go either way with that character. I mean, he could make it work either way. So, yeah, that's a great point. I never really thought of that, but Wow, I text it out.
And, you know, back in the day, we always said, well, you know, some guys didn't need the championship. And he was one of those. You know, Ted DiBiase. Ted DiBiase didn't. Jake the Snake didn't. Piper didn't. Goldust didn't. Scott Hall did not need it. He was that over that he really didn't need a championship to go with it.
But we say they didn't need it. But, you know, just if they would have, what would their career be like?
I mean, all those guys I mentioned would have been great world champions. So, Josh, let's get to rolling the video and let's get started on the greatest ladder match of all time.
Oh, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the great Bill Dunn doing the ring announcing here, right?
Yeah, thank goodness it's not Tony Kimmel.
Yeah, well, I think we see it. I think Tony does a cameo, a chimio in this match toward the end.
The real one of Shawn Michaels and the bogus one of Raiders.
I think that's so cool. That's such a great shot there.
It's a terrific shot. And to think, you know, WWE was the first one to do this. And that's really cool.
And remove both belts to become the undisputed World Wrestling Federation Intercontinental Champion.
You'd get in trouble for that nowadays, saying both belts.
And the story behind the two belts is John got popped, you know, for illegal substance, and they told him to send the belt back, and he said, no, I'm keeping it. So he kept it till they had another one designed for Razor. And then Sean came back with the belt, and Pat come up with it. According to Bruce, it was Pat and Bruce. Bruce invented it. And, you know, we said the Calgary invented it. Bruce Prichard was out of Calgary working with Stu Hart that week. And he said, Sue, why don't you do this?
Yeah, because I think Bruce Prichard invented Stu Hart.
Yeah, he did. But if you'll notice here, Sean, you know, the old adage, you know, never walk under a ladder.
That's right.
And of course, Sean doesn't walk under the ladder, but watch the bad guy. Watch how he does. Watch it. Look at the big diesel there.
You know, people just didn't, I don't think, realize, you know, you see Kevin Nash now, how big he was.
Oh, man.
He was massive.
Legit 7 foot, man, and all power, too.
Yeah, huge.
I can't imagine him on the basketball court covered that, man. He's got like Paul White, you know, big show.
You know, and then Sean had that time off, you know, with the little problem he had with WWE, and as Bruce Prichard would say, they had to talk him into coming back. But Sean, as you said, wouldn't send the championship belt back. So that left him with two belts held by two different guys who one had never lost it, and one had it and won it in a tournament, which set up this incredible ladder match.
And to set up this ladder match, too, the fans should go back and watch a couple of the promos and the events leading up to this thing. It's awesome how they built it into this thing. I watch you look at the bad guy. There, what a character, man.
What a presence he has to come out.
He's pushing 300 pounds at the end of this match, too.
He has to be.
Right underneath it. Not a match of bad luck. I've heard some interviews by Scott, you know, and you know, the match was such a great match, and a lot of people forget who won the damn thing, you know?
That's right.
And this is a case where it really wasn't that important, you know, just the content that mattered.
Yeah. You know, Jeff Hardy, when he came out a couple times, would walk under the ladder, which I don't know if he got that from Scott Hall or if he just decided to do it.
I don't either, but, you know, Scott Hall influenced so many people, and The Rock. He influenced The Rock. I mean, you know, and several other guys along the way there. But that's how powerful this character was in our business.
You know, and the thing about it is, Jerry, you think about it, you say, okay, I want you to come in and be like a Pacino Scarface character. That doesn't sound like it's going to work.
Except like you're copying, yeah.
Scott Hall. There's Jimmel.
Now there you see, I told you it's going to make a Jimmy over this thing. Capacity crowd. Capacity crowd there.
To witness the ladder match. Here we go. And Diesel must vacate the premises.
And it's great how they build this thing up. And this is really, you know, we talk about stories all the time. We talk about telling stories all the time. how Razor attacks the leg to take out what's Shawn Michaels known for, the super kick. So he's taking out that leg on Shawn when he starts working on his leg. Just watch the how he developed along the way, his pattern of taking out the Shawn's leg, just when you think Shawn can strike.
I can't wait to see that.
And there's the great Earl Hebner as the referee out there.
Well, Earl was just the best, wasn't he?
Yeah, and Earl refereed so many important matches in WWE. Thing about those Earls. And, you know, here's a ladder match, and they're starting out doing what? Wrestling, folks. Building up to that spot where you get the ladder. I've heard interviews with Shawn, why this match, why he thought this match was so good, and the way he said, these guys went up and down the road together for years before this match and after this match, but he said it was just basically two friends out there who really trusted each other with their bodies and would let each other do whatever they wanted to do because they knew their time would come because both guys were so giving to each other.
Yeah, and it's just something when you have someone that you're very comfortable with. You know, you don't have to call anything. It's just kind of a feel out there, which is hard to describe to people who aren't in the business, but it's such an easy thing when you're out there with somebody you're comfortable with.
Yeah, and they'd had a couple of rehearsal matches. I don't know if they still do that, but that was a great thing back in those days where they had a couple of house show matches where they could start working on their spots and working on their But here, watch the Big Diesel come out here. And I think this is so great. A lot of people didn't like this, but I think it just added so much to it. When Earl makes the decision to send the big guy to the back.
Diesel, stepping over Razor. Did you see something?
Oh, dear, you got to see it to get to send me out of here. And Earl saw it. Earl didn't miss nothing.
Look at Earl. Earl is just the best.
Yeah.
And the camera missed Earl throwing him out.
Yeah, it's best that old throw out there. There he goes. Yeah, it's going to cost you some money if you don't leave, big boy. And this takes out, you know, Fender take, well, this takes out Sean Jones, number one asset that he got out there, gets this big Razor Ramon and takes away his bodyguard, Kevin Nash Diesel. So now the sides are kind of tilted towards Razor's side here. The Razor takes advantage of it right away, starts getting his heat because the Trump man's gone.
Oh, roundhouse right to connect you to two championship belts hanging above them. Whoa.
Sean and his crisp moves. I mean, you know, he look how he's selling there. Boom. What a bump that is.
Oh, Sean was just unbelievable. You know, Sean later in life was great. But Sean at this era, he had so much athleticism. It was unbelievable. You know, when he came out of that curtain, it was like an explosion when he came out.
We're seeing two guys right here that's in the prime of their careers too. I mean, you know, they're just starting to peak and just starting to figure out who they are in the business. And man, are they peaking at this time here?
I guess so. Obviously, and there's nothing like the athleticism of, you know, two great athletes when they're in their prime, because they just do stuff that's natural to them that most people can't do.
And they're starting at this age, too. As we all know, it takes so many years to really start figuring out the business. And I think it clicked on both of them about the same time. This is how we do business. This is what the business is about. It takes that experience and that timing just to get there. And they both are peaking at that timing right here in this match.
And you look at that. They spent that time setting up that spot with taking the mat up, then all of a sudden the backdrop over the top rope to the mat.
Yeah, and you forget about the mat. Those ladders aren't light either, man. They're
no. Hard. Yeah. You know what is amazing is now you've got 50 ladders under the ring just in case. You know, they only had one ladder.
One ladder in the entire Madison Square Garden, so the legend goes. And if this one broke, what the hell would have happened? That doesn't sound like WWE at all, does it?
No, Not at all. Because so much can go wrong with that ladder. Yeah.
Say, what a spot there. Just minor use of the ladder. They're saving it because, folks, this isn't something that they could go on and research. So there were no video. There was nothing of a ladder match in the history of our business where that they could go and study a ladder match. So all this had to be created themselves as they were going along.
And what's so great about this that I love is they've introduced the ladder. They do a little spot with it, and then they leave it alone for a little while. You know, so far, this whole match, you haven't had the ladder.
It's hard to work that ladder being as long and as heavy as it is. So when this spot here, when he nails Razor, he got the ladder upside down there, and they're watching me nail Razor right in the midsection there. That's got to take care of it. I don't care, you know, how soft it is.
Oh, yeah. I remember when Vince got busted open by one of the ladders, and it's just, you know, Vince wouldn't put up his hands for anything. But it's hard to work something that's unwieldy like that.
Razor's selling. I mean, a 300-pound man here, and, you know, he knows what the business is about at this point in his career.
And you think about it, getting hit with that metal ladder is not that big a deal. But the way Razor sells it, it makes everything.
And folks, they ain't rushing. They're not in a hurry. They're taking their time. They're letting each other sell and register the move so it means something.
And we're this far into the match, and this is the first time they're setting up the ladder to go for the two belts. That ladder's probably broken by now. Along with the back of Razor Ramon. Here we go. Michaels gets the ladder in place. Get it over further. He has to bring both of them down, not just one. Michaels going up. Razor trying to make a move. Now, this was first real bump from the ladder, right? That's right, yeah. They've just now, for the first time, set up the ladder. Don't boot the face.
This was a thing back in this era. You know, Terry Funk, I think, introduced it to the business. Thanks, Terry. Him and then, of course, Flair took it to another level on down the line. Then Sean picked it up because Rick was doing it, so.
How many times did you see guys get their pants pulled down doing cage matches and the something on a pole match?
That never happens during the course of a regular match.
Never. No.
There's a shot here that you can look at. I think it's this one here that that's iconic in our business. Razor, during an interview I saw, he said he signs more of these pictures here of this shot right here, of Sean coming off the top, than any other picture in his career.
And people got to understand, that's a heck of a bump. Yeah. I mean, he's a couple feet above the top rope, maybe 2 or 3 feet, and he's coming straight down.
I believe that's a 20-foot ladder, Don. A ring rope there, 15 foot. Come on, Sean. Razor is finished. Just get those belts.
There you go. You're right under. Here we go. Michael. Ladder isn't almost is not big enough for the dominoes. Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I thought Sean's not a real big guy like Razor is. Can he reach these damn things? Ladder's got to be right perfectly under for Sean to reach. Now look at this bump here. Wow. Hits that top rope and bounces off.
And like you say, there's no template for this. I mean, everybody does that bump now. Yeah. Every ladder match you see a bump that's similar to that. These guys created it. And these people have never seen anything like this. I mean, you can hear them, they're going crazy.
Yeah. Razor is so over at this time too. When he starts his little comeback, the building just goes banana.
Go banana. I can't picture either one of them getting up after what they've been through. Both men knocked unconscious and look hanging above. And you look at it. I mean, what they did was so simple right there. Just the old drop down double noggin knocker. It wasn't some crazy high bump off the ladder. It was just something very simple, but they're selling it. And the whole crowd is buying it.
And once again, they're taking their time on that sell because of all the punishment they got. And then, okay, let the people breathe it in. Let them take it. Let them set the scene, so to say.
I saw a clip of Sean and Razor talking about this ladder match. So what do you think? Sean said, we had a lot of hair. Oh,
no. He's going to use it as an offensive weapon, I think.
Well, they did.
Michael, yeah, they did.
Wow.
That's not an easy bump.
No, going over the top of that ladder. And Sean, but Sean bumps were always picture perfect.
I heard Razor talk about this spot here, and one of the things is, you know, once he gets the ladder, you think, as the commentators say, climb the ladder and get the belts back. But Sean had beaten up Razor so much with that ladder, it makes perfect sense in the match that Razor's getting him back here.
That's the type of character that Razor Ramon was built to be, so it goes perfect with that character. Once again, it's that character building from the inside at Razor's back. Old catapult talk right into the ladder.
the ladder
I think he was kind of trying to come back on Razor, so I was told, but Razor rode out of the way just a little too quick on it.
You blame him?
No, not at all. There's no control coming off those ropes.
Well, Jerry Lawler is such a good announcer too, right? What a bump.
Yeah, Jerry adds so much to this. I mean, to anything that he calls, he just, you know, he was a competitor inside the ring. He knows the business. He knows the storylines, and he can read the storylines by watching the match.
I really thought when Vince got off commentary, it was a bad decision. I don't know what you thought. I just thought this iconic voice, this baritone voice, is leaving. And it was one of the best things that Vince ever did. Because it created other stars and it made other people step up.
Once again, that cold sell there, man. Both guys are down and they're both selling it. Both have taken tremendous amounts of punishment at this time. But watch your Razor body language as he gets up there. When he goes on the attack there, you can just see that 300 pounds just laying in the shine.
Come on, Sean. Michael, setting up the ladder. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I always liked this two-way crawl up the ladder.
Yeah, me too.
And the suspense, and we'll listen to the crowd as they get rung by rung. This is where Sean takes an iconic bump here, too.
Ooh. Ow.
I mean, Razor's bump looked. But taking that superflex off the damn top of that ladder, I mean, we see it all the time now. But back then, folks, this was the first time that people had seen this thing. So.
Yeah, one of the differences, you're going straight down off that ladder. You know, superplex off the ropes, you got a little bit of motion going into the ring. Going straight down, just there's nothing, there's no give.
Now, Razor's trying to. Michael's drop kicks the ladder, and down goes Razor. And the ladder is teetering back and forth.
I love this match, how they sell. I mean, I think this is really why it's considered an iconic match. not only because of the mood, but the story. These guys are both injured, and they sell the hell out of everything that happens to them.
Yeah, you remember the match we went over? Of course you do. The Pat O'Connor, Buddy Rogers, how yes. Buddy would just sell, sell, sell. You know, your great champions knew how to sell.
Michaels right. coming over the razor amount. Michaels with the bad guy.
That was a super kick.
And Razor Ramon appears to be out.
He is finished. Oh, his eyes open. What is he doing?
Michaels
hit him one more time, Sean. I don't think he's out. Give him one more shot.
Michaels doesn't know what to do. He's done everything he could possibly do to Razor Ramon to keep him
what?
Down.
What?
Oh, wait a minute. Michaels.
Oh,
mimicking.
Yes.
Michaels mimicking.
Yeah.
Razor Ramon.
The ultimate insult. The ultimate
Michaels
humiliation.
Michaels trying to set him up. Michaels trying to set up Razor for his own Razor's Edge.
Finishing with his own move.
And he can't. Wait a minute.
Oh.
Ooh. Wow.
Michaels.
It's such a great spot. You put the Scott Hall in such jeopardy here with the super finish. Kick, the pile driver.
These series they've done, they got both of us because we sit here silent just watching what's next, you know, because we're
right.
into the match.
This'll do it.
This is a strange spot here, too. I mean, there's no control. This has got to hurt, man, folks. I'm sorry, but this has got to hurt.
But again, they're creating something on the fly.
Okay. And Sean's selling it also. That's a point a lot of people miss out on. And sometimes you do a move that you got to sell it too. It's so impressive that you got it. It's got it. Both of you go down and sell.
Yeah, and it makes the move.
Michael's opening the ladder up again. He locks it in position. And look at this.
Yeah, Ramon's under the ladder for the second time. Double bad luck.
And again.
Double bad luck.
It's just amazing they only had one ladder.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels.
Get him! Get him!
He's got a championship. One more run, you'll have it.
He's super kicked him. He's pile-drived him. He's landed on him with a ladder.
I wonder if these guys were aware there's only one ladder in the building. There's a spot there that everybody copies now. Everybody.
That's right. And it's the first time any of these have ever been done.
Yeah.
You know, unless Brett did it, you know, in the match he did it with yeah. Sean.
And look how he's got his leg in there too, John. I mean, that's a great place for a heel to have a baby face tied up like that. And honestly, there's not a lot of control that you have to get out of that move except kind of pull yourself up and loosen the rope there, right?
That's right. Yeah. It's one of Andre's favorite spots to tie himself into that top rope.
There it is.
Yes.
And Sean got there just too late. Oh. You know, it's a perfect ending. You know, as Bruce Prichard, who invented wrestling, would say, you don't have to beat either guy.
Oh.
It was like a cage match or anything. You know, it's not a pinfall. It's one guy climbs a ladder, one guy doesn't.
That's
the rivalry lives on.
That is a great point that Brother Bruce brought up, man. And you know, you search for ways not to take anything away from either guy, not to beat either guy. When you throw something like a ladder match or a cage in there, you don't have to do that. I was always confused in the beginning when I went to WWE, why? Because the way we won cage matches down the south, and I believe in Texas too, you went through the door. You know, you couldn't go over. They were there to keep people in, but it evolved from that. It evolved because they didn't want to beat Andre, I guess, in one of the matches, or Bruno with one of the matches with Koloff.
Right. Like Sergeant Slaughter and Pat Patterson alley fight match. There's that iconic view right there. Look at that. The crowd is going banana.
Well, John, there we have one of the most iconic matches by two of the greatest athletes that, that were reaching their prime and showed they were right getting into their prime. Just gave us a look at the future of both of these stars and where they were going.
Yeah, and physically, you know, you talk about they're reaching their prime in both. You know, physically, they were incredible athletes. Mentally, they were incredible athletes mentally, too. And these guys just knew the business. I mean, it was just so pleasurable. I was in the ring with both of them in the mid-90s and both of them later, you know, around the mid-2000s. They're the same guy. But, man, it's just that when you're 10 years younger, you know how it is. Yeah. You can just do so much more. And when those guys, mid-90s, I mean, they were just unbelievable how good they were. They were good in the mid-2000s. Right. But that young athlete, just there's something, you can't replace that young athleticism that comes with youth and great ability.
And that youth, they don't care if you get hurt. I mean, if each other get hurt, you know, because they're pushing that limit so far, they don't know what it's going to take to hurt themselves. So
that's right. You know, they always go to that limit. They always say you spend your first few years in business learning what you can't do because you think you can do anything. Then all of a sudden you start getting hurt. You think, okay, put that down. Can't do that.
Exactly. And then they're finding out in this match, when these matches started coming along, I think they found out a little bit quicker than we did. You know, what to look like.
That's right. And they brought, after this, everybody was doing ladder matches.
Yeah. Everybody. And that was a big point too, you know. I think it was Billionaire Connie that brought this up. You know, WWE's always accused of stealing from the independents and taking stuff. Well, this ladder match became so popular that the independent scene, every independent show in the United States, I think Home Depot had a shortage of ladders during the next 2 or 3 years because all the independent shows were buying the ladders up and having ladder matches in their shows.
And what a bunch of iconic people in the ring at the same time. So you had Earl Hebner, the referee. Diesel gets thrown out. You had King and Vince on commentary, one of the greatest commentary teams of all time. King, so good. Vince, so good and so iconic with that great voice. And then Shawn and Razor inside the ring. I mean, you had the best of WWE of all time in one match there together in the greatest arena in the world, Madison Square Garden at WrestleMania 10.
That's right. And don't forget your adopted son, Tony Chimmel, made those two appearances there.
I did forget him, but.
You always forget him, but don't forget him, folks.
Yeah. And get you a chimio from Tony Chimmel.
Yeah. So, the match was just loaded with future stars who were huge stars at that time also. But we're seeing the beginning of their Hall of Fame careers. All of those folks that you just mentioned there, you know. They're all Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah, and you realize that what we've known since we first saw this match, this is one of the greatest of all time, and in my opinion, the greatest ladder match of all time. You know, they did greater things in other ladder matches. They had greater moves, but I don't think anything will ever replace the drama and the story of this and this ladder match, the first one.
Yeah, well, this match here gave those later matches, a blueprint to go by, though, to work off of. And these guys, as you said a little bit earlier, they were just coming off the top of their head. They were the architects of this stuff. They were designing it as they were rolling along. And you know, I'm sure, you know, and let's give Brett a lot of credit for bringing this to the WWE and bringing it to Vince and Stu Hart a lot of credit for having the first ladder match and Stampede Wrestling up there. And so it developed, I mean, and then later on, you know, because of this match here, later on we had the iconic three-way tag team match that, you know, that's another ladder match that everybody, that you can't get off your mind, you know, the Dudleys, the Hardys, and help me out here.
Edge and Christian, yeah.
Edge and Christian, yeah. Edge and Christian, how can I forget those two studs, man?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, I know you've been in a lot of territories where they have a new match, and as soon as it gets over, they do it so many times it kills it. Yeah. And I was working for Otto in Vienna, and they brought the bull rope. He goes, "What do you do with that bull rope? A bull rope match, right?" Because, you know, he'd worked in the AWA. And I said, "Yeah." So I had a bull rope match with Luke Poirier Rambo, who's the big babyface champion, and it went over really well. The crowd was good. So we had three in the next week. It was so dead, everybody, by the end of the week. You know, there's only so many things you can do in a bull rope. Okay.
And you had no place to cut after 3 weeks.
No, my head's all ruined. Yeah.
That's the reason Dusty started cutting on his arm, I think.
That's right. You just get tired of bleeding.
He had no more forehead. Yeah.
That's right.
But it's so great to be able to go back and under the circumstances and why we picked this match, you know, we lost a brother, but it's so great to go back and watch these matches, because a lot of these iconic matches are matches when these guys, like we've been saying, were in their prime and ready to go, and anything went, man, just go until I can't go no more. And that's the attitude that you had and have to have when you're involved in a match like this. And both of them went out there, and as they say, they left it all on the field, man.
Yeah, and you know, it's something about two friends that when they're wrestling like that, you know, that you think, okay, we're going to show them. And both of you had the same mindset. You trust the other person, and you're just going to leave, like you say, everything out there. But somehow it just seems to work better with two friends. Now, to both credit, Sean and Brett weren't friends, but they had that 60-minute Ironman match that was just absolutely phenomenal. So it does work. I think it works a little better when you have a guy that you trust and you know very well who's your friend.
Exactly. I agree 100% over that. You know, you get that familiarity with somebody. You just know what you can do and when you can do it. And that's so important in the timing of the match. And you could tell that with these guys here, they could tell what each other was going to do ahead of time. So it was so easy for them to fill in the gaps there. It's so important to have that trust, as you know, John, and a match with your opponent there.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, that's one of the reasons you see these iconic matches and we look back at them and go, that was a big turning point in the industry. So there you have it. Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw, best of the best. What many consider the greatest ladder match of all time. One of the greatest matches of all time from two of the greatest characters of all time. Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon. Thanks for joining us.
See you next time.